and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And tonight, maybe our best theme in a while, as we watch the same movie twice.
Well, we could have, they could have been even more the same.
They could have, yes.
You picked one movie over another, so.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
And it turns out I was a little... it was a poor choice because it turns out there was a third film that if we were doing three films, oh my god, this would have been the same movie three times.
Yeah.
It would have been amazing. But I liked our choices because they both have a commonality that you'll see in the title of the episode.
Mm.
But before we get there, we have some random crap to mention. First off, I went on vacation this week. I swung by a little town called Niagara Falls. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's, the home to the biggest waterfall on earth. That's not in terms of height or width, but in terms of, no, in terms of volume. Exactly. Like the amount of water that goes down every second is by far the biggest in the world. So there you go.
I've heard of it.
It's in many ways the best waterfall. But, you know, I'm very prejudiced in saying that. I am, of course, Canadian. But anyway, I had gone during the summer, and I loved it. I hadn't been there in, like, 15 years. And, actually about 15 years. I'm like, you know what? I've never seen Niagara Falls in the dead of winter, and I would very much like to. What does this all look like when it is frozen solid?
So you pick the coldest time of year to go.
Yep.
Because they're experiencing the polar vortex. Well, they were.
That was my plan. My plan was, we're going to get the coldest possible time of year to go and see this waterfall. It's going to be perfect. I get there, and on the day I get there, you know, it's a little cold. It's fine. The next day, it is, and this is not an exaggeration, 15 degrees Celsius.
Really? 15?
Yes. 15. We were walking around in t-shirts. It was essentially sweltering at the beginning of February.
Jesus.
I know. And the next day it was like 8 degrees. It was like super, super warm 2 days in a row.
Did it not get cold?
Oh, it was cold the day I drove down and had to drive through ice rain. And it was cold the day I came back when I had to drive through ice rain.
Jeez.
But no, the entire time I was there was super warm.
Really? Oh, that's weird.
It's so weird. And as a consequence, I mean, my dream kind of is to see a great big piece of ice going over a waterfall in real life. I love it when that happens in film, and I've always wanted to see that happen in real life. And, well, I didn't get my chance this time.
I don't know if that happens there.
I know there gets to be ice at the top of the, on the river at the top, and there's ice on the bottom. And so yeah, occasionally pieces of ice will break off and fall down. I mean, and little tiny pieces I could tell were doing it all the time because they would wash it. They would turn up in the wash at the bottom of the waterfall. Like you could see the tiny pieces there. And I'm like, oh, there's no really big sheets I want to see falling. The one nice thing is, you know, the crappy American falls that are no good.
Yeah.
that are just like, you know, two kind of limp waterfalls pouring on a bunch of rocks. Like they don't have the majesty of the horseshoe falls.
Oh no, because the horseshoe is on the Canadian side.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. And the American side is the kind of one, which is really only good as a projector screen, which is what it's used for every single night. We project a light show onto it, from Canada every single night. The Americans don't get to see it though, because it's, you know.
Because they're on the wrong side.
They're on the wrong side. But anyway, so the funny part is that one actually looked pretty good because, it was still, you know, cold enough in the previous days. So whenever it snows, a lot of ice builds up on the rocks underneath. So you had these like big, majestic, icy rocks at the bottom of that, like covering their entire waterfall. So you got to see water running down that. It actually looked quite good, but I didn't get to see any of those pieces of rock like break off in an entertaining way. So yeah, I did not have the winter in Niagara Falls of my dream. But on two different days, I got to chip a shell of ice off of the front of my car to put antifreeze in. So that was kind of fun. That I had to do that twice. But yeah, so Niagara Falls, one big takeaway, they really know their audience because, lots and lots of Indian people, like movie stars, are in the wax museums now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I didn't know there were that many tourists from India, but apparently there are, because huge numbers. Well, then again, Toronto has a huge Indian population as well, doesn't it? So it makes perfect sense now that I talk it out. But yeah, I was surprised. I didn't actually go in, but there are these big placards on the outside talking about all of the stars they have there. And there were a lot of Indian celebrities mentioned. And in my favorite thing they did, so it's like, name of celebrity, name of celebrity, name of celebrity, all these lists of celebrities that they have the wax sculptures of, and then Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Like, oh!
Not Daniel Radcliffe.
Poor Daniel Radcliffe.
Harry Potter.
Oh, you poor guy. You're just not famous enough. You're no Taylor Swift. They have a Taylor Swift.
Oh, okay.
At least they say so on the sign. I can't say that for sure. The only one I can say for sure is the Heath Ledger, who's in the window.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go.
I want people to come in based on a really unsettling looking Joker simulacrum. So maybe that gets people in the door. I don't know. It's February. There was literally no one in the city.
Right.
Yeah, I went when the whole place was closed, and I'm proud of it. So you had some stuff as well?
Yeah, so I had a pretty terrible day the other day.
Oh, no.
And I complained about it at length on Twitter. So, and I want to take a moment to thank Darth Aragorn, who messaged me, just about problems I was having with my car, to offer some suggestions and some support. So
nice. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks.
Way to go, Darth Aragorn.
Yeah.
Also, great name.
Right?
It's a fantastic screen name, if I haven't said so before. And I haven't. It's the first time I've heard it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, fantastic screen name, Darth Aragorn. Tip of my cap to you. Okay, let's move on to television.
TV. So I watched some stuff.
Yeah, as Netflix, you do.
Obs. Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah.
So much fun. Haven't talked about it already? I don't think I did.
You haven't, no. I was very disappointed that Carmen Sandiego isn't the villain, but I hope that there's a reason for that.
Have you not watched it?
No, I haven't watched. Well, I've played many of the video games and watched the quiz show in which she was a villain. And there was a cartoon in the 90s or early 2000s, and I'm pretty sure she was still a villain there. But I can't say 100%.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what the deal is.
Okay.
But she's still a thief. Well, there's still thievery involved.
Yeah.
But I was charmed by it. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to season two.
All right. Here's my question.
Yeah.
Within an episode, does she steal the Great Wall of China?
She does not.
Damn it! That's all I wanted from the show. That was the best part of the game. It's like someone has stolen the Eiffel Tower. Figure out who it was. The Eiffel what? The Eiffel Tower was what are you talking about?
There's an episode where every single Vermeer is stolen.
That's pretty good. Like, that's not bad. It's not the Eiffel Tower, but it's pretty good.
Still, like,
That's, I'm not gonna lie, that's pretty impressive. All of the Vermeers.
All of them.
Are they all stolen simultaneously on every continent that has a Vermeer?
No, because that's not possible. That would require an incredible amount.
A giant army of thieves, or, let me hear my pitch, a bunch of robot honeybees that were very well trained.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
So anyway, Carmen Sandiego, I liked it. I thought it was fun. And then I'm almost finished watching You.
Oh, how is You?
It's good. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, that's the one about the stalker. And
yes.
It's very, because it was on, what was it, on Lifetime or something? It was on Lifetime originally and no one watched it. And then, like, they rebranded it as a Netflix thing and suddenly it's crazy popular.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't know that it was something else.
It was one of those channels. Probably not the Hallmark channel, but maybe the Lifetime channel.
Anyway, are you sure? This doesn't feel like something that would be on Lifetime.
That's pretty bleak stuff on Lifetime. But I know it was on television first. It might not be one of those two channels. I do know it was on television first, and nobody saw it, so they were able to essentially rebrand it as a Netflix original and relaunch it. That is the story of how that happened. Okay. I just don't know what the original network was.
Anyway, I do like it. It's a little... problematic, at least for me, because it's told from the point of view of the stalker for the most part. And it wants you to like him.
Ooh.
And not exactly root for him because he does bad things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, he's almost kind of sympathetic at times.
Oh.
So it's just, it's weird.
Well, it's more complex. That is more complex than I was expecting from it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's called You, and it stars Gossip Girl.
I don't know Gossip Girl.
It's the guy is Gossip Girl. Like the
main, I don't know.
No, I'm telling you, the star of this show, the stalker, is Gossip Girl.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sure,
he's whatever. The character Gossip Girl. Okay, yes.
My other issue, and this is all me, I don't find him particularly attractive.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
So, I recognize that that's a me problem.
Yeah, no, that's not a universal reaction to Penn Badgley's face. I feel like his name is Penn Badgley.
I don't know. Honestly,
but I could be wrong about that. I don't know for sure. I know there was someone on the show named Penn Badgley, and I just love that hilarious name.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I too watched a show, not on Netflix, on Amazon Prime, if you want to check it out. It's something I've talked about a couple of times here because I've been rewatching it. Murder, She Wrote. I finally finished rewatching Murder, She Wrote, which took a while. It is 12 seasons or 13 seasons, something like that. And I just wanted to tell people that if you have Amazon Prime, go there, go to season 12 of Murder, She Wrote, find an episode called Murder Among Friends, and watch it, because it asks the question, what if one of the friends from the show Friends was a murderer?
Oh.
It is set on a fake version of Friends. It's kind of amazing because of how angry it is at the existence of Friends. Because Murder, She Wrote was betrayed and taken off of Sunday night. They'd been trying to kill the show for years, but it always good enough ratings that they couldn't quite make the commitment to get rid of it. So then Friends became this, you know, it was like a giant hit, and they're like, let's move Murder, She Wrote to Thursday nights against Friends.
Oh, God.
And of course, exactly. Friends was a giant, like, it was an immediate cultural institution that everybody watched live. Because there was no other option back then. Unless you had a VCR, I guess. So everybody watched that. Murder, She Wrote's ratings tanked. And then, boom, that was the end of Murder, She Wrote. And they saw the writing on the wall. So they did an episode about how little the value they found in the TV show Friends. And the best part is, because it had a Murder, She Wrote budget and couldn't afford a giant guest cast, three of the, like, there are still six friends, but three of them never say anything and are just extras.
Aww.
And spoiler alert, none of them are the killer, although how hilarious would it be if that had been the case?
Well, it's kind of like that episode of Criminal Minds where you have Mark Hamill, who is the killer, but
never
he doesn't
say anything.
He never talks.
He talks very little, but yeah, he almost never talks. A weird episode. Set of episodes. But yeah, so Murder, She Wrote, Season 12, Murder Among Friends. It's very entertaining. So be sure to check that one out.
Alright.
Next up?
A list.
I love lists.
Okay, so today's list is All Tracks, which is the name of a website.
Okay.
All Tracks is top 4 skiing movies of all time.
4?
What is the point?
If you could only come up with 4 entries, just don't make the list.
Right?
Like, unless it's like best Return of the Living Dead. Actually, you know what? There were 5 Return of the Living Dead movies.
So there you go.
That's not even a good example. But seriously, if the minimum number is 5, if you can't at least do a top 5, don't do the list.
Right.
And I want to point out that the only reason we're doing this list is because you vetoed the list, which had a bunch of James Bond movies on it.
Oh, it had
which
one
I maintain,
movie on it.
Well, it should have been more, because I maintain that a lot of James Bond movies are skiing movies. And it's like, that's not even counting the movie in which James Bond invented snowboarding, which is a real thing that really happened. the first person to ever snowboard on, you know, in a fictional film on screen was James Bond in the film View to a Kill. Like, he brought that to, in the same way that James Bond was the first man to ever use a Sea-Doo. Or, what was the other thing he was the first one to do? All right, ride in the space shuttle. James Bond used to be about showing future technology, and now it's about... I don't even know what it's about anymore.
I don't think they know either.
Daniel Craig getting shirtless? Who the hell knows?
I don't know.
But yes, so, just want to point out that James Bond used to be a largely skiing-themed series of movies, and that's completely gone. All right, what are the four films?
Okay, so... What?
Heidi. She was a skiing heroine.
Are you sure?
And the character Heidi is a skiing heroine, but I'm sure it's not in the list. Anyway, continue.
No. Okay, so number one, The Crash Reel.
I've never heard of this, but I assume it's just like video clips of people crashing their
skiing. That's just it. It's just 90 minutes of ski crashes.
Oh, God.
No, it says here, this documentary is a thrilling ride through the world of professional snowboarding. It follows Kevin Pierce, who's training for the 2010 Winter Olympics, when he suffers a horrific accident, which changes his life forever.
Oh, poor guy.
So there you go.
Okay, well, that does sound like it's about skiing, but it is a documentary, which I'm a little sad about because I was hoping these would all be fictional. Go next.
Number two, Claim.
Claim.
Yes.
All right.
This high-adrenaline film calls itself the best ski movie ever and certainly makes for great viewing. It stars one of the sporting greats, Shane McConkey, before he tragically died in a base jump accident.
Jesus!
Yeah.
And now, is this a real movie or is this another documentary about, like, how awesome skiing is?
I think this is, well, okay, so something to explain, which is, I'm going to do a really bad job doing this.
Okay.
So there are just, like, skiing movies,
yes,
which are just films of people skiing. Like, there's no story. It's a documentary in the sense that it's not a work.
That it's just showing real action.
It's just showing real action. It's just people skiing.
I've never watched one of those, but I will admit, I have watched numerous films like that about surfing.
Yeah, so it's like that. It's exactly like that. So I'm at Claim might be something like that, I guess.
Okay. Claim. Gotcha.
Okay. Number three, Eddie the Eagle.
Oh, from like a year and a half ago with...
Yeah, from 2016.
Yeah. I guess 3 years ago now with Hugh Jackman as a guy who coaches a guy to not be very good at ski jumping.
It is about Eddie the Eagle, the British
The famous bad ski jumper, Eddie the Eagle.
Ski jumping though.
Yeah, that's not really skiing, is it?
Nope.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, to be fair, you do have to downhill ski before you can ski.
No, you're not
that doesn't count? The downhill skiing you do before you hit the jump doesn't count as skiing?
Well, you're just going straight down.
Which is definitely not what you want to do when downhill skiing.
Which becomes the jump.
Oh, okay.
You turn. This is a straight run.
Okay, so you're saying that I'm going to ask for an idea. What if we had a sport where you had to do like a giant slalom and then at the bottom of it, ski jump?
You're not going to have enough. Well, no, you'll have speed.
There would be like an extra 100 or 200 meters at the end of the giant slalom to get you ready for the jump. Like it wouldn't be straight from swerving to jumping. Like you would have a steep part at the end.
That's a bit of a challenge. They have jumping in the bumps.
Okay.
Like, if you ever watch a mogul competition, there are two jumps they have to hit.
Oh, okay. So there you go. So there's already kind of a hybrid ski jump downhill ski competition.
Kind of.
Neat. I had no idea.
And then there's slope style. I'm not getting into this with you.
Okay, that's fine. We're not here to save it for the skiing podcast, okay? We're here to talk about horror movies by people who get killed at ski resorts.
All right, so rounding out our list at number four.
Okay.
It's a movie from 1961 called Many Moods of Skiing.
Many Moods of Skiing? It's a terrible title.
This is a Warren Miller movie. That name will mean nothing to you.
Nope, not at all.
He died, I think, last year, maybe 2 years ago, which is sad. Okay. Produced a gazillion ski movies in his lifetime.
Oh, okay.
And they're all, I mean, they're wonderful. And these movies toured. So I would always go with my dad every year when the movie played at the NAC.
Okay.
So it's like an event, kind of like an event film in a sense.
Yeah, it seems like all of these movies had to be about action. Well, no, I was going to say they have to be about actual skiing because, no, but then Eddie the Eagle wasn't an actual movie. No, it was about, A, it was about ski jumping, and B, it's a drama. It's a docudrama, like it's about a guy's life, but still. Yeah. This is a hell of a list, because if you like, when I thought it was just skiing footage, I'm like, maybe these really are the four best skiing footage movies, but then it's not about that. And then you get to think, and it's like, well, why didn't you include Downhill Racer, which is legitimately a great movie about a professional skier that has a lot of skiing action in it?
Yeah, so, like, I'm not sure what the criteria are. It just says here, this is their all-time favorite skiing and snowboarding films out there. But
okay.
They sort of run the gamut from drama to documentary.
Yeah, these, I gotta say, I don't remember the name of the website. You're not good at lists.
So, All Tracks Academy, ski and snowboard courses.
Oh, okay.
I believe they're located in the UK.
Okay, well, apparently they do not, they might be good at teaching people to ski and snowboard, but they don't know from film.
But they don't know how to make a list. So.
No, not at all. And it ain't that complicated, people.
At least have five.
At least have five. Again, Downhill Racer. It's right there in the title.
Wizard of Oz.
There you go.
Again, it's not something you're going to be familiar with, but trust me on that one.
No, I do trust you. All right.
Hot Dog. Jesus. Like
Hot Dog, the movie.
Oh, God.
Ski School. To a lesser extent, Ski School 2.
Ski Patrol, if you like.
See? There you go. There's... Like, we're just rattling things off the top of our head. Fire, Ice, and Dynamite. There.
I love that movie. So good.
Fire, Ice, and Dynamite's an amazing movie.
Great movie.
If you haven't seen it, basically what happened was all of the stuntmen who worked on James Bond movies and a couple other great stuntmen said, why don't we just make our own movie instead of waiting around for someone to hire us? And so they made their own movie. And it's garbage, but the stunts are wonderful.
So, it's just a race. It's a preposterous race from the top of the mountain to somewhere at the bottom of the mountain.
It's so cool.
It's skiing, mountain biking, and and rally driving.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's so amazing. Fire, Ice, and Dynamite. You owe it to yourself to check that one out. How is that not the top of this list?
And Roger Moore is in it.
Of course Roger Moore is in it. He loves those guys. He was always willing to do people a favor. He was a cool dude. All right. So yeah. But of course, that raises the question. Are they continuing to make movies about skiing?
Probably are, but
that's not what we cover here.
Because this week's upcoming horror movie is called Dark Light.
Ooh.
Following her mother's death and a painful divorce, Annie and her daughter move back to her childhood home. At first, everything seems fine, but then tragedy strikes again when on a foggy night, Emily goes missing from her bedroom. Annie claims
Emily?
Emily would be Annie's daughter.
Had her name been mentioned up until that point?
No.
Okay, so good. I'm not crazy.
Annie claims that she saw something come from the darkness to take Emily. A creature. Nobody believes her. But when Emily's body is not found and Annie becomes a prime suspect, and is sent to a correctional hospital. Annie must now escape the hospital and return to the house to confront the creature that she believes has stolen her daughter.
Oh, that sounds nice. Way to go.
There's this picture here, an image. I have no idea what this is supposed to be showing me. It might be the monster. It might not. It's just like some smoke or possibly clouds. Something that has some texture. I don't know. I got nothing for you.
And when does this one come out? And is it made by or starring anyone significant?
Okay, it is awaiting release. Okay. So sometime this year, next year.
Looking for distribution, gotcha.
And it is written and directed by Patrick Reynolds, who made The Devil's Dolls and Rites of Spring.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, I didn't love Rites of Spring, but I'm at least aware of it, and I haven't seen The Devil's Dolls.
No, I don't know if I've seen Rites of Spring.
No, I don't know that we covered it on the show.
I've seen it.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen it, but I don't know if we both
have. We did, and I just don't remember.
Okay.
Obviously, well, it didn't make an impression.
I will later go and check the plot synopsis of that one to see if we saw it. But we're not going to make a big deal out of that now. Okay, so let's get to hear what we're here to talk about. Two different ski chalet murder mysteries that were shot on video.
Yes. No, actually, they weren't both shot on video.
Are you sure? They both look like they were shot on video.
No, I'm pretty sure at least one of them wasn't.
Well, that is something I would love to hear. Because it would be the lowest quality film shooting I've ever seen if either of them wasn't shot on video.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to it.
Okay, so first up is Iced from 1988.
Yeah.
A group of friends are invited to spend the weekend at Snow Peak, a new fancy ski resort. Fun in the winter sun turns to terror when people start dying.
Ooh. So yeah, this film has a very, how shall I put this?
Pike feel to it? R.L. Stein, perhaps?
A little.
No, this is exactly what you would expect from one of those guys, just in terms of plot.
Yeah, except, you know, a lot more brutality and nudity.
And side boob.
So much side boob.
Just because this that scene where just soups it on your side boob.
I know.
Like, did you, I can't even, I don't know how that happened. It's just,
I don't know what happened there. It was very weird.
But yeah, side boob.
It's singularly strange, the amount of side boob in that. Oh.
Anyway, so this movie is weird.
I don't think weird goes far enough. It's like, it's strange right from the start. Because it starts with this ski sequence where I'm like, okay, so could they not get to a real ski hill? Like, could none of the actors actually get to an actual ski hill? Because they're filming them very strangely.
Well, it's, okay, so I think their issue is twofold here.
Okay.
For starters, none of those actors know how to ski.
That is clearly 100% obvious.
And for seconders, whoever they hired to, as their skiing doubles, aren't very good.
I certainly was not impressed with the skiing in this movie.
No.
The way I was a little with the skiing in our next movie.
Yeah. Yeah, because they actually hired people who know how to snowboard. So that's a bit of a problem for a ski movie when nobody knows how to ski. And yeah, it's like all the skiing that you see in the movie is off-piste. So it does, or like in the woods, essentially. So, okay. So it does suggest that maybe they couldn't ski, or they couldn't film on the hill.
An actual hill.
Okay. For whatever reason.
Because they just seem to be going down trails.
Yeah.
And that looked incredibly dangerous to me.
I mean, well, you could, there's glade skiing, and that's fine, and off-piste skiing, which is a thing. Like, that's all normal stuff, if you know how to ski.
As someone who's terrified of skiing, it filled me with dread watching them weaving between trees.
No, that's fine. That's perfectly normal.
Okay.
But yeah, I think a bit of an issue for a movie that's supposed to be set at a new ski resort and there's no actual
ski runs. Yeah.
Ski runs. Because
they're specifically saying that it's like, this is the first time anyone can go and see these ski runs because we're going to have the tastemakers come and check it out. And they're going to tell everyone to buy chalets in this amazing new ski resort.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, then shouldn't there be awesome runs for them to do? Right. Shouldn't there be like manicured runs full of perfectly designed slopes and hills and slaloms and whatnot?
Oh, that was a good effort.
I know. I'm terrible at the skiing stuff. I try, though. I put in the effort.
Good try, Bruce. Good try. So anyway, all this shitty skiing aside.
Yes. It's a standard slasher murder mystery thing. At the beginning of the movie, a guy's would-be girlfriend hooks up with another guy. And he's so bummed about that, he kills himself.
Well, no, that's not exactly what happens.
Well, no, but I mean, he goes out skiing super drunk, alone in the middle of the night.
I know, and then he falls and dies.
Falls off a cliff and dies, yeah.
Which is not... Which is actually kind of hilarious.
No, the way it's shot is ridiculous.
Oh, God.
Like, it really is
ridiculous.
Before
this guy heads out to go on his drunken nighttime ski run, we see him ranting in the bar.
Yeah.
And the way it's shot, it's like, is he talking to someone or is he just talking to himself? Like, you don't really know what's going on. And I guess, like, I kind of liked that.
Yeah, because the significance of that pops up later in the movie. That was well staged enough.
Yeah, yeah. But when you get to the end of the movie and you find out who the killer is, like, what?
What? How?
How? And it's so, this group of friends, so the movie begins 5 years ago.
By the way, this film is set over a decade.
I know, it's ridiculous. So 5 years ago, this guy died.
Yeah.
And so now 5 years later, all of these people have been invited to stay in this condo and test out this new ski resort. That's great. And then they have a meet and greet with the real estate agent.
Yeah, the developer is
the developer.
Representative. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're still, they're waiting, one of their group hasn't arrived yet. Mm-hmm. And while they're hanging out in the condo, they get a phone call. And supposedly it's the guy who hasn't arrived has called them to say that he's dead or someone saying,
he's dead and he's with the dead guy from 5 years ago.
He's with the dead guy from 5 years ago, that's right. So it's like, what?
Okay.
All right, that's weird.
Weird way to start the weekend, but sure.
And then when you get to the end of the movie and you find out who the killer is, it's like, but it's not possible because we see what he's doing.
Yep. On many occasions when the killer is around looming. Yeah. Killer's around pulling stuff, and then we cut back to the spoiler alert. I mean, you can watch, if you desperately want to see the movie Iced, it's on YouTube. You can go watch it now and then come back.
Right, because we're going to ruin it. The developer is the killer.
Is the killer.
He's hanging out in the house when they get the phone call about their dead friend. So it's like,
yes.
Not, he can't be the killer.
He can't be, later in the movie, so a lady is being chased, like, everybody's being killed. A lady is, like, being chased around by the killer. He's murdering people. She calls the developer.
Yeah.
And we find him at home, lying in bed, answering the phone. And she's like, the killer's coming to get us. And he's like, I'm gonna call the cops and I'll be right there. And then she hangs up the phone and then the killer is outside her door.
It's like,
and it's him.
Doesn't make it. Also, why are you calling the real estate agent?
Call the cops!
Call the cops! You don't need a middleman!
You don't need a middleman. Like, it's not, I mean, okay. Wait. There is one excuse for this, which is, this part of town is so remote.
Yeah,
you know what? I was about to make the excuse that they don't have 911 and only the developer would know the police department's phone number, but no, you can just dial the operator. That doesn't even work. If you don't know the number of the police station, you can just dial the operator and say, connect me to the police. You're right.
Well, I think they had 911 in 1988.
No, not everywhere. Like, 911 was rolled out around the country gradually. Yeah, and that's true. So major metropolitan areas got it first and blah, 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 blah. So a place like that likely would not have had 911 at that time. But the point is, you can just dial zero. Also, it seems like she just has his phone number off the top of her head. Cause she's like, she's half dressed. She's been through a chased by a killer ordeal. She's hiding in a bedroom and she picks up a phone and just is able to just off the top of her head, call the developer's house. Did I not see her get his card? or something? Like, what happened?
She did leave his car because they had that hot and heavy makeout session.
Yes.
In front of everyone, I'd like to point out. It's like, ooh, it's sort of cozy by the fire. It's like, there are five other people in this room.
I know. And then they do this weird, dramatic cutting forward and backwards in time between people, like, flirting in front of a fire and other and getting it on. Yeah, and this sex scene. And I'm like, that's really weird. What a strange artistic technique.
The bathtub scene?
Yeah.
I think those are just his fantasies.
I guess?
Bathtub fantasies, because they never actually have sex.
Yeah, they never actually do get together, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was watching it, I was assuming I was seeing forward in time, but then it just kind of wraps up without it. It was a strange artistic choice, but they had to kind of get some nudity into the movie, so more power to them.
Side boob. You gotta get that side boob.
Oh my god. And it's weird because so there's these six characters, right? And I'm trying to figure out whose side we're supposed to be on. Cause there's the complete asshole and his girlfriend.
Weird character choices.
Yeah, so there's the complete asshole and his girlfriend who have broken up by the time the movie starts, which is why, by the time the main action starts, which is why one of them isn't with them. Also, that guy, and this is true in the movie, gets snuck up on by a dump truck.
No, it was a front-end loader.
Oh yes, a front-end loader, which is even more ridiculous. It sneaks up on him somehow.
Like, oh, Killdozer. Okay.
Yeah, just creeping up behind him. I'm like, okay.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was a very funny scene. But anyway, so there's the two of them. Then there's the doctor and his wife, and the doctor is such an unbelievable asshole. It's just like, it's this weird thing where it's like, his character is, what if a pediatric surgeon who dedicated his life to curing children and like saving children in the worst possible conditions was an impossible to be around scumbag who is super negative and hateful to everybody. I'm like, I mean, that's an interesting character, but is he really someone you need in this movie?
Well, no, like the one that I really didn't understand of all the weird characters who populate this film.
Yeah.
The cokehead.
Yes.
Why are you a cokehead? What does it have
to do with anything?
To the drama that's taking place on screen. Like, you're just making it awkward, and you have a gun for no reason.
Yeah.
And that's kind of useless. So,
and then you get caught in two bear traps.
Why are you here?
How did you get caught in two bear traps?
On two.
Two! And I was like, if you're setting out bear traps, do you really set two right next to each other? Like, I've never tried to kill anybody with bear traps, but I don't feel like I would set two right next to each other.
Yeah, like, you would want to,
spread it out to better your chances of him stumbling into it.
People through when they run from the car, instead of going upstairs to the front door, they bang on the door they know that is locked and nobody is around.
I know.
Bitch, you came down the stairs. Go back up the stairs.
Well, and then the weirdest thing in the movie about whose side we're supposed to be on, essentially our leads are the characters who, and it's like, okay, this woman does not owe the guy who accidentally kills himself anything. She doesn't have to be attracted to him. She doesn't have to want to be in a relationship with him, blah, 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 blah. But like the first thing that happens in the movie is she drove up with him and then she goes off with another guy and we get an extended sex scene with the two of them after they both team up to beat up the guy who's mad at them and laugh at how pathetic he is. I'm like, and those are the characters whose side we're essentially supposed to
be on. So what happens at the start of the movie is you've got the blonde woman and I guess skier dude. I don't remember anybody's name. It's not important.
It's not important.
So, blonde woman, so I guess there was this expectation that crazy guy thought that he and blonde chick were going to hook up over the weekend, but he's insufferable. He's got like a huge chip on
his
shoulder.
He's the worst. No, he's the worst.
And so then skier dude is just sort of joking around with everybody and with the blonde woman and everyone's having a good time. But the crazy guy is
has
just,
to make it into drama.
Has to make it into a big deal and he can't have any fun. And so he just kind of picks a fight.
Yes.
Essentially, which he loses.
Badly.
And then again, his friends are just trying to make a joke out of the whole thing and let's get past this and let's just enjoy our evening. But he can't fucking let it go.
No,
so
he
gets drunk and dies.
Yeah.
And that's not anybody's fault but his.
No, not at all. It's just, I'm not blaming them at all. He's the worst. I'm just saying it's weird that the film has this scene where they're, you know, having a good time in the room. They're about to have sex. He comes in and he makes a fuss and they beat him up a little and run him off. And then we get an extended sex scene with the two of them while he's off accidentally killing himself. And we're still kind of supposed to be on their side.
Yeah, whereas but I'm why like, would we be on his side? Like, he's the one causing all of the problems.
Oh, no. I'm not saying we're supposed to be on his side. I'm saying just the fact that after he's caused this all of this unpleasantness, that they're still immediately DTF. I just found kind of weird.
Why not?
Because he's kind of spoiled the mood.
Clearly he hasn't. When he walked in, they were just arm wrestling. It's not like they were like half naked already.
No, but they were clearly, they had clearly retired to the room.
Yeah, but you know, they weren't going at it just yet.
No, you're absolutely right. They had not started anything just yet.
Right.
And you're right. I mean, honestly, the guy's so insufferable that you'd kind of want to have sex with each other just to piss him off.
Right.
Later, they have children based on this terrible relationship.
Oh, well, let's see. I mean,
it worked out. I'm not saying it didn't work out. But it does seem like they got together out of spite for how insufferable this guy is.
Maybe they did, but it turns, you know, blossomed into a beautiful relationship.
It did. You know what? However that relationship started, it's one for the ages.
Absolutely it is. So.
Real Luke and Laura situation. But so, anyway.
End of the movie when the killer's revealed.
Yeah.
Now it's possible that he's the killer. B, nope. It turns out he has a prosthetic leg.
I know.
That!
That came out of nowhere.
Yeah, like, but you don't have it in all your weird bathtub fantasies.
Nope. Well, but then again, it's his fantasy, so he wouldn't have it in his fantasy.
Maybe he would, you don't know.
No, I'm telling you that like he's an imagining, well, no, given how he feels about the leg, I'd imagine in his fantasies about the awesome sex he's having as a perfect version of himself. No, he would not have a prosthetic leg in his fantasies. That's just logical. But you're absolutely right that it's like, it doesn't make sense for him to have the prosthetic leg. It doesn't make sense that he's the killer. And I just love that it's like, so he was this guy's buddy and the guy went off drinking and skiing and he didn't stop him when he had the chance. Instead, he just went looking for him later.
And then he
also falls down the hill. In a hilarious fall. Like, we get two different hilarious falls down the same hill. It was kind of amazing, really.
God.
Mental note, go to the YouTube channel for Iced, and I'm going to cut out the two falls down that hill. We're just going to post on the AVODs channel, guys falling down that hill. Oh, it's so ridiculous. But then, you do get my favorite shot in the movie. Which is, he gets shot and he goes out a window. Mm-hmm. And in what I can only imagine is the inspiration for the film Skyscraper, he ends up dangling by his prosthetic leg.
That's because I'm sure whoever made Skyscraper watched Dyson's like, file that one away.
You know, it's the same guy who made like Dodgeball and weird comedies, so.
Coming back.
There is a chance. There is a chance he did. Like,
was so taken with the idea of a prosthetic leg.
No, a guy dangling from his prosthetic leg. And you know, the tension as it's about to give out that he's like, I'm gonna build a whole movie around this.
Instead of just tacking it on at the end. Because that's clearly what happened.
Yeah, and because I guess the weird part is, if he didn't have the prosthetic leg, a lot of this would make more sense. Because he could just want revenge for his dead friend. He doesn't have to also want revenge for him blaming them for the loss of his leg. Like, that's gilding the lily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I guess what we're trying to say is Iced isn't a very good movie. And I maintain that it was both shot on video and the titles were made using the title creator inside the consumer-grade video camera.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure. So the movie begins, and I'm like, was this made for TV? Because it has a real made-for-TV feel about it.
Yeah, it does.
And then there's all that side boob. I'm like, okay, not made for TV.
No.
Way too much side boob for 1988 cable television. But
could have been made for Showtime. You don't know.
That's true. I don't know. And I don't want to know.
If you know the answer to this question, don't tell her. She doesn't want it.
I don't care to know. Don't share that information with me.
Okay. But anyway, when the movie started.
No, that was it.
That was you saying it looked that cheap. Yeah, no, when I watched this and I'm like, this is definitely shot on video, right? Like, the kind of high-end video they used to make soap operas in the 80s, but still video.
Yeah, that's why I thought it might have been, like, made for TV.
Made for TV. I get it. No, but I just think that's the cameras they had, and they just went with it. I think this is not a large-budget film by any stretch of the imagination. It's set at a ski resort, and they didn't have access to a ski resort to film. Like, that's a problem.
Even then, like, they're supposed to be in this isolated cabin.
And you can see cars driving by in the background.
You can see the neighbors.
Yep. So now, honestly, this is one of those movies where, like, I'm not going to say this is definitely what happened, but, like, a guy who owned, like, 4 supermarkets in somewhere in the Pacific Northwest had a ski chalet, and then his cousin was like, you know, we could make a horror movie out there and, like, really cash in on this trend. The guy's like, sure, I own supermarkets. I have a chalet. Go nuts. And that is how this movie happened. And that is how, that little story there, that's how 80% of the horror movies of the 1980s happened.
Right, some guy who has a string of supermarkets.
Yep. Usually in Canada.
They're in laws.
Usually in Canada, but not always in Canada. Usually in Canada, though, because of our tax loophole situation at the time.
Yeah.
All right, so that was Iced. Let's move on to our second movie of the evening.
All right, second movie was Shredder. Which is also available on YouTube, should you care to watch it.
Yep.
A group of friends head up to Rocky Peak with the intention of shredding the mountain. But it turns out they're the ones who get shredded. Here with a hard on for safety.
Oh my god. I want to point out that your synopsis there is definitely like the actual back of the box synopsis.
I wish.
Like, I know you wrote that just now. But 100%, that's the actual text from the back of the box. I guarantee.
So, there was some debate as to whether or not this film was made in a year that started with a 1 or a 2.
I know. Is it a 1998 movie? Is it a 2000 movie? I saw a couple of different dates on it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I honestly, I mean, given the clothes that they're wearing...
Yeah.
It looks like really late 90s.
Yeah, like 1998, 1999.
But then just he's got that soul patch, which to me feels more early 2000s.
Early 2000s, yeah.
So.
Maybe he was a cutting edge of fashion kind of guy.
Maybe. Anyway.
So. Alright, so this movie's main claim to fame is that stars Aladdin. That's basically all it has going for it. Scott Winnegar is the main character, but the film doesn't really spend enough time with any one character that I think anybody can be called a main character.
Yeah.
But he is the lead and he is top of the credits. And you know what? If you ever wanted to see Aladdin in a slasher film, that exists.
Here you go.
It's called Shredder.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know if that's something anyone was clamoring for because it's not like this film was theatrically released.
Direct to video.
Oh no, it did. And fun fact about this movie, I would say, what percentage of the dialogue would you say was looped? 100? 110?
No, not 100.
No.
Because it's really obvious what it is, because yes. There's a real problem with the sound of this movie.
Oh, huge problems with the sound. Also, an amazing green screen sequence where they're driving in a car and it's a green screen and it is not like, it just looks like the camera is at a different angle than the rear projection. I know how far they should be away from the ground, but the rear projection thinks they're closer to the ground than they are. Like, it's a really weird mistake in the green screening in their car driving scene.
Oh my god.
It was strange. Like, I was like, it's kind of a mistake. You just don't see that often.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I mean, it's a pretty standard slasher film. Like, there's a bunch of kills. There's some okay makeup. Everybody dies. Almost nobody's likable. It has one of the most singularly unpleasant and unlikable, female characters I've seen in ages.
Yeah.
Like, they go out of their way to make her the most loathsome person they possibly can.
And she's so stupid.
Yeah, no, she is. She's very stupid.
And it takes way too long for her to die. So you're like,
she's the last person to get killed in the movie. And we don't see it happen.
Like, let's speed this along. She's too dumb to live. Please die. She's
absolutely the worst. Yeah, so she plays, Scott Winnegar's girlfriend-ish.
Yeah.
who will literally sleep with anyone but him.
And yeah, that's actually her goal for the, no, she won't sleep with the guy with the video camera.
Oh, that's true. She won't sleep with the guy with the video camera. But her goal from the weekend seems to be just get with anybody who's not her boyfriend.
Yeah, pretty much.
That seems to be her goal.
And she doesn't even succeed at that.
No, she does have sex with one other.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah. She does. She's had sex with the, I love it. Oh, where are you from? I'm from another country. Which one? Europe.
I know.
Oh, the country of Europe. Okay. Like, I can't. Okay. That's supposed to be funny. I get it, but.
Yes, it was funny.
But your characters are so.
Can't be that dumb.
You can't be that dumb. And then later on in the film, where the European guy is complimenting the blonde woman that we all hate. Yeah. He says like he'd never seen anything so beautiful since Raphael's Venus. And I'm like, Botticelli painted Venus.
I
don't know if the film knows that.
Yes.
Or if he's make, if he's
making a, or a if mistake.
The,
yes.
The character doesn't know it. And the woman he's speaking to is too stupid to catch him on that. Like, I honestly can't tell you if it's a mistake.
If it's the film making the mistake.
Or the character.
Or the film actually being clever and saying, here's yet another clue that this guy obviously isn't actually European.
Yes.
Because he's doing a non-specific accent and won't say what country he's from.
Yeah.
This was not a hard thing to figure out, people.
Just, because there are some moments where the film, like, it's a horror comedy, I suppose. And there are moments of levity because there's a scene where, like, the blonde chick is just running around in boots and a bathing suit. And, like, they've all just escaped the killer. And this one guy's like, aren't you cold? So, like, okay, legitimately funny.
And
then you have this moment where, like, another opportunity for humor. And I'm like,
They miss a bunch of them. Yeah.
So it's like, I have no idea what the hell's going on in this movie.
Well, especially because, like,
it's really disjointed.
No, it is. It absolutely is disjointed. It jumps all over the place. And it has one of those sequences we just talked about in the other movie where I feel like the killer's in two places at once. Cause the killer hops on a chairlift with the slutty girl, who's a different character than the blonde slutty girl. See, the blonde slutty girl, her main characteristic is she's a treacherous bitch.
Yeah.
Whereas the other character's literally only characteristic is that she is incredibly slutty.
Which is fine. She can be
that's fine.
Slutty
no judgment. No judgment, but I'm saying that is the only character she's given.
She's just there to take her shirt off.
Exactly. Because the blonde girl will not do that on camera. Like, they artfully shoot around breasts.
Yes.
In the two different scenes where she's naked in the movie, they artfully shoot around her breasts, and the other character is willing to show, the other actress is willing to show her breasts, so she gets a sex scene. Mm-hmm. And again, her character exists only for that sex scene. But anyway, the killer gets on a chairlift with her, right?
Yes.
But around the same time, the killer is hanging out with the cameraman. And I don't think there was enough time. It's hard to tell because the film is so disjointed, but they were all going to the slopes around the same time. And it's weird to think that the killer could have gotten onto the chairlift with her, had their interaction, then managed to get all the way over to at the bottom of the bottom of the chairlift and have an entirely different ski suit waiting in time to go and talk to the cameraman.
But don't forget, the killer also has to kill the snowboarder in the tool shed.
Yeah, and that's all happening
in between those two
40-minute window.
Yeah.
Like between that time. Like it doesn't make sense. Like it literally just doesn't make sense, the timeline in this movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, is that they didn't care in the writing or it was edited poorly?
Well, this like is I'm like, not again, something else, like I can't tell. Cause normally you get a sense of like, okay,
of
this is
what kind
was
of movie it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, with this movie, I honestly don't.
It's so disjointed.
Yes. Yeah. So, because did they just shoot a bunch of stuff and slap it together? Did they make it up as they go?
Like maybe?
I it's so puzzling. It's a little frustrating too, because.
Yeah. Well, I know, and I'm so confused about various characters' motivations, because, so, the guy, alright, so the guy who's pretending to be European, right?
Oh, yeah.
Accidentally, right. Accidentally killed a girl, like, killed a girl, right, the sister of his then girlfriend. Accidentally killed her when they were all drunk and bullying her, you know, while being asshole snowboarders.
I don't understand how they killed her.
No, it's completely unclear, because at first you think, oh, they were just snowboarding too recklessly and they rammed her and she died. But then we get like flashbacks to them bullying and taunting her. And I'm like, how did she die? Like, did she run away from them and fall off a cliff or something? Was it the same cliff?
I think they... As an ice? I'm remembering now. I think she runs into a tree.
Okay, so they were like chasing her on their snowboards.
I don't know. It's not clear why they're responsible for her death.
No, that's made completely unclear. But what I didn't understand is, so he's like come back because his two friends have disappeared.
Yes.
Like the two friends who he was kind of responsible for the death with have disappeared. He wants to come back and figure out what's going on. But rather strangely, he's like pretending to be a European guy to get in with this group. But everyone around town knows who he is. Right? So I don't understand why the ruse about being European when all of these people have no idea who you are, and all of the people, like, you don't think any of these people were involved in your friend's deaths. Like, you should be concerned about the dad of the girl you killed. You should be concerned about her sister. You should be concerned about the creepy cop. You should be, like, all of those people, but those people you can't have a fake identity for, because they all know who you are.
He hides upstairs
when the cop drops by.
Well, that's just it. He refuses to go into town, and then he takes off when the cop shows up. So,
what is the fake identity about?
That makes people suspicious of him later in the movie. So it's like, yeah, why bother faking who you are to a bunch of people who don't know you to begin with?
Exactly.
But the whole backstory, again, is sort of, it doesn't change, but it's sort of like they lost track or they added to it, because there's a dead little girl.
Yep.
And then I guess the missing snowboarders who killed her. But then there's a dead mother.
Yeah. Oh no, the mother was also killed in a car accident.
She was
caused by different snowboarders.
That comes up later in the movie.
So late in the movie.
They added it later. It's just like what's the point of that?
Yeah, no, and it doesn't add anything.
It's just drunk drivers. It doesn't say snowboarders. It's just drunk drivers. I don't know if the expectation is that the same drunk snowboarders who killed...
No, it can't have been. It can't have been the same guy.
Any sense. The whole dead mother thing is like pointless and unnecessary. Yeah. And then...
Oh, no, it adds nothing and it comes up so late in the proceedings it literally can't affect anything.
How is this about? And then when Blondie is running around like an asshole at the end of the, when the, when the killer's on the loose.
Yeah.
She runs into the basement and opens up a door and there are two skeletons in there. I'm like, okay, so these are the missing snowboarders.
Yes.
What the hell is going on? Because when you find out who the killer is, that person would have been like 10.
Yes. I think.
So, and the movie suggests that that person
is the killer that of all of those people.
Killed the snowboarders and is killing people now.
Well, we know she's killing people now.
You know, we know she's killing people now, but it's like, it is not possible for her to have been the killer.
No, the dad must have been the original killer,
but
the film doesn't understand that.
But the dad's like, I don't want to kill anyone. I just want everyone to leave and never.
I just want people to leave my mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so baffling. Also, there's this weird part in the movie where it's like, she's, the evil blonde girl has brought everyone up here, explaining to them that her rich dad is buying the resort to, you know, rebuild it, to develop it. But then it turns out that no, they're just in the process of buying it. And the dad doesn't want to sell, I guess, to give him added motive. But again, he's not the killer. And it just seems kind of strange. You could have just had him have, like, the extra thing where they're breaking into the place doesn't really add anything. Like, they could have just owned it because they specifically go to the trouble of explaining that the dad lost all of his money and bankruptcy court had the deed to the mountain and they were currently negotiating with them for the deeds of the mountain. I'm like, well, why had the extra level about them breaking in? Like, it's enough of a because you need the dad to be motivated to have, like, a fake red herring motive. It's enough of a motive if they're the people who bought it out from under him to give him a fake motive to be the killer.
No, but you don't even need to work that hard because his daughter was killed by snowboarders. That's all the motivation
that's
he
true.
Needs.
You're right.
To hate on
people. You don't actually need any other
motive. You don't need any of that other bullshit about buying the mountain out from under him.
No, you're right. It's just baffling.
So.
It is very weird how convoluted this movie is.
So which leads me to believe that they kind of made it up as they went along. Because they lose track of stuff and then they add stuff in that's not necessary. Also, the first victim is made into a snowman, but the rest of the victims aren't.
Yeah, well, no, second victim, because there was also the guy who had his throat slashed open in the teaser kill.
That's right. What happened?
Yeah, there's another guy who just gets... Like, we never meet that character. Like, we have no idea who that character is or why she killed him.
Some rando who gets killed.
Literally just a random snowboarder gets murdered at the start of the film.
Right.
To establish the stakes.
And apparently, they never got rid of that wire because he gets clotheslined, his head is chopped off. And then at the end of the movie...
The dad also has his head chopped off by the same wire.
Is it still there?
Apparently he's just been there the whole time.
They got out of nowhere. That was so stupid.
It was kind of a nice thing. And it's weird because, like, Scott Winninger is heading right for it. Then in the last minute, he swerves out of the way and then the dad gets his head cut off. And I'm like, did he know that clothesline was there? Like, how did he know to swerve? Or was that just luck?
I think that was just dumb luck.
The weird part is they could have established that earlier. Like, if they had they done the scene earlier establishing when he was figuring out that scary stuff was going on, they actually could have had a scene of him, like, finding the wire and then using be one of the things that he goes to warn people about. And then later the character gets smart and he remembers where the wire was and he tricks the dad into cutting his head off. But that, no, what I'm saying, they could have done that. That isn't what happens in the movie.
Yeah, because they're making it up as they go.
Clearly making it up as they go. The weird part, the problem with the opening kill, right, is that it establishes, like, that they're gonna spend a lot of time, like, going over motives, right, but that they give all of this stuff about giving the killer's motive to hate these specific teens because of the fact that the mountain was stolen, blah, 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 right? But at the same time, we just saw the killer kill some random guy at the start of the movie that has nothing to do with the rest of the story.
It's just hating on snowboarders. That the whole point of this movie is that the killer is a skier who hates snowboarders and is killing snowboarders, because the
snowboarders lower the tone.
Yeah, they do. So
they do.
No, that's what the movie's trying to say.
Oh, okay. I was just going to ask if you, as an actual skier, Okay.
I mean,
have a similar gripe about snowboarders.
Me off when they're on a hill that they're not good enough to ride, and they push all the snow down the mountain.
Oh,
that's infuriating. Don't take a run that you're not capable of skiing.
Handling, because then you're just gonna grind all of that snow down and cut up the track.
That's something else.
Okay. I don't.
But these snowboarders are supposed to be nice people who are just out there to have a fun time, and it's really the skier who's ruining it for everybody. That's the point of the movie. They're trying to subvert this whole evil snowboarder thing.
It's true. Such a weird movie. Like, it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, you really thought this wasn't, by the way, you really thought this wasn't shot on video?
I think this is actually shot on film.
Wow. It looks to me like maybe it's just honestly with lighting this bad, it can look like it's shot on video, but I was just convinced it was shot on video based on how amateur the whole thing looked. Also the fact that the credits seem to have been done on an iMac. That definitely factors in.
I'm not 100% sure, but I watched the credits at the end, and I think...
Oh, and there might have been a film lab listed?
And I was surprised. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, I'm definitely surprised, because I was 100% sure it was shot on video. So.
I might be wrong. I could be misremembering.
No, that's fine. I mean, I have no dog in this fight.
But more to the point that everything is all made up, is that there's this... So the guy with the video camera, he talks about how he saw this really cute girl when they were out snowboarding yesterday. That never happened.
No, we didn't see that scene. Like, there needed to be a scene with him first seeing the killer. By the way, the cute girl's the killer. To establish their rapport later and explain that dialogue from him. But I guess they just forgot to shoot that scene?
No, again, making it up as they go.
Okay. Maybe so they're just making it up as
they go. So that never happens. And then one of the characters gets hanged from the chairlift.
Which, by the way, it's like, has very little to do with the killer's actions.
Yeah,
she hangs herself.
She does. She hangs herself. So that's just, I guess, lucky.
Just complete, cause she like pushes the killer off of the chairlift and then like gets her own scarf tangled on the bar and then doesn't take the scarf off when she has a chance. She has like 3 chances to not get killed and she ends up getting herself.
So it's actually quite funny. So her body is hanging from the chairlift. It just goes around and around all day long. I'm like, someone's got to notice that eventually. And then there's a scene where 2 people are eating lunch and the body goes by.
It's going by in the background.
Legitimately funny. I'll give it that.
It was.
And then later in the movie, one of the guys, I think Aladdin, he's like, oh, and she's hanging from the chairlift. I'm like, you never saw that.
Nope. More scenes you forgot to shoot. You know what? I just realized, I just remembered the order of sequences. I'm completely right that she can't be the killer. Cause literally, this woman pushes her, pushes the killer off of the chairlift, gets, 5 seconds later, gets her neck caught,
mm-hmm.
right? Then, she's being dragged around the top, and she manages to stop the chairlift. And this is all happening within a minute. And
yeah.
Then we cut to the bottom of the chairlift, and we see that the chairlift stops as the camera guy and the killer are waiting to get on it, and they restart it.
Oh, that's right. So,
literally, she could not have been the killer.
Yeah.
What? I mean, unless, I know, I mean, this is going to be a strange thing, but unless in that scene it was the dad just trying to scare her and he wasn't actually trying to kill her?
No.
No, that's not true at all. That's obviously not true at all. You're right. I was trying to give the film too much credit, and I should not do that with this film.
Yeah.
No, so yeah, like literally, she couldn't have been the killer.
No, and this is why I wanted you to watch the movie at regular speed.
Oh no, it's baffling.
So like,
you were right.
Yeah.
You were right about how baffling this movie is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's incompetently either written or shot or edited or most likely all 3.
Trick.
The ultimate hat trick. Now you go to Alberta and collect your free hat. You got a free hat if you scored 3 goals in a single game. That's what the term hat trick means. There was a haberdasher who had that promotion. He would get hockey players to wear his hats. Canada's awesome, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But anyway. Wow. Okay. So yeah, shredded wasn't good either, but now we're going to have the hardest thing we've ever had to decide. Which of these was the better movie?
I don't know. Honestly.
It's hard to say.
Because there is, like, there's entertainment to be had in both.
In both. That's the
largely
thing.
Largely because of their incompetence.
Oh no, they're both terrible. So I guess, which one did you enjoy watching more? Cause I would say, I think because they actually managed to pull off some of the comedy sequences, I enjoyed watching, Shredder more.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that being said, like, there is, both of them have a baffling reveal of the killer, but the baffling reveal of the killer in Iced is so much crazier than the reveal of the killer in this one.
Yes.
Like, it's so bonkers. Cause it's weird how much they have in common, cause both of them have scenes that definitively prove that Person X couldn't be the killer.
Yeah.
Both of them do that exact same unbelievably stupid thing, but overall.
Both of them have person not actually dead saving the day.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, we were joking before we watched these about them being the same movie. But in a very real way, they are the exact same film. That being said, only one of them has a terrible CGI person getting sucked into a snow grinder. So that might take it just based on that. So yeah, that was Shredder and Iced. They're not good, but they're both interesting in their ineptitude.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't watch a lot of, I gotta say, mostly we watch depressing bad movies here. Like, mostly when we watch a bad movie, it's just sad. You know? But these ones are both funny bad.
Yeah.
Like, they really are both funny bad.
Yes.
And, you know, you can definitely get entertainment out of both of them.
Agreed.
Oh, Iced. Seriously. I'm just saying, 90% chance a guy who owned a chain of supermarkets had a ski chalet. And so, as you say, maybe his son-in-law, maybe his nephew, whoever came to him and said, let's make a slasher film. You're never at the ski chalet anyway. Just what the hell?
Right.
And he was like, sure.
Sure.
What do I care? All right. So that's that. Do you have any narcissism you would like to watch?
New episodes of Chicks and Dicks and True North Crime coming your way.
I was on an extended car drive this past weekend, as I previously mentioned, so I got caught up on Chicks and Dicks, and you had some very entertaining books in the new season.
Oh my God, wait till I post the latest one.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was quite a bit behind. So I'm caught up now, but oh God, that, what was that one book? I'm trying to remember the guy's name. Oh, you know, the guy with the most ridiculous romance novel name ever.
Oh, you're talking about Chuck Tingle.
No, not the Chuck Tingle ones. Those are parodies. No.
What are you talking about?
Talon Steel.
Oh!
There was a character named Talon Steel.
Yeah, that's the book I didn't finish.
No, you didn't. Two of the three of you didn't finish the book.
Yeah.
And I hate you because I want to know what happens in the next two books of that trilogy now.
Why don't you read them and tell us?
Would you have me on to do a quick book report about where the series goes?
Sure.
All right. So if I actually want to sit down and read those books, expect to hear me on an episode of Chicks and Dicks doing a book report on the rest of this terrible trilogy.
There's actually like seven of them.
No. Well, then I'm not committing to that. You told me there were three brothers. I assume that meant there were three books.
I think there's, yeah, I think there, I remember it's looking into this series. Because, my co-host, I think was actually going to read the next one.
Yeah.
Which I couldn't find. And then I found like Steel Brothers number seven. It's like, don't forget it.
She was like, seven? No. So she had my exact same reaction.
Yes. Right,
that makes me feel a little better. All right. But yeah, I was blown away by the name Talon Steel.
Oh, it's
so
great.
As you say, his like his brothers just have normal names.
I know. Why are you named Talon?
Why are you named Talon? What is wrong with you? But anyway, I encourage you to catch up on Chicks and Dicks. Lazy Writer would not let me turn on the true crime thing because it's about true crime. But I will get caught up on True North Crime as well. She does not want to hear about people being scalped.
Fair enough.
You know what? A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, it's
terrible. I think it's fair to say that we're the weirdos.
We are. We're the weirdos. Mister, we are the weirdos.
The weird part is, like, based on the popularity of true crime, I think it's safe to say that the weirdos are at least 51, possibly up to 75% of the population, but we're still not getting to call ourselves the baseline and everyone else strange. The people who listen to stories about pregnant ladies getting scalped, I know she wasn't pregnant, but you know, it made it sound more awful, are the ones who are weird.
Yep.
We're the weird ones.
Yep.
All right. Constant new flood of content at a little place called the Hidden Object Guru YouTube channel. I extensively covered Resident Evil 2, and now I'm looking for my next game to in-depth cover, so don't know what it is yet, but prepare to be excited. Nightly streams there to go with the, help people check out wonderful new and strange games. Also, check out the Profiling Criminal Minds podcast, where my co-host and I talk about Criminal Minds, the strangest, worst, most lovable and endearing show on television. It's a terrible show that I love too much, Criminal Minds.
Oh, God.
So is there any other way to get in touch with us?
You can visit the Avod's blog at theavod.com. You can leave us a comment there and tell us about your top four favorite ski movies. But only four, not five, not three, four. You can send us an email, theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and listen to me bitch about my day. And apparently that's all I do on Twitter now.
All of those things. So until next time, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.